Indeed, Greg, backstage at Dressing Room A in Verizon Hall with Gil Shaham. I don't see any rabbit's feet or four-leaf clovers or inverted horseshoes here. Are there any rituals you have just before you go on stage to play a work like this?
You know, somebody said musicians are the most superstitious of all the superstitious people. And I guess I have some things that, you know, my grandmother told us all, make sure you step outside a door with your right foot first. So, you know,
so we
all do that. My whole family does that. And I guess there are other things, you know, I make sure my socks match something.
Sure, good policy.
Yeah.
Unless you have a policy against it. And you have, the instrument is right in front of us. And are you okay talking about what this instrument is?
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
This is well, tell us what it is.
Well, I'm so lucky to have this violin. This is a Stradivarius, $16.99 plus shipping and handling. You know, that's actually
the old joke.
Yeah, that's my 1699th time I've told that joke. No, it was made by Antonio Stradivarius in the year 1699 for the Countess Polignac, after which it's named. So this violin is called the Comtesse de Polignac Stradivarius, and she was a very influential patron of the arts on the court of Louis XIV. And as well as in Venetian musical life. So she commissioned many of the Vivaldi concertos that we all know and love. She was the first to bring the Four Seasons out of Italy to be performed in Paris. And so I'd like to think maybe this violin has something to do with that.
If it could talk, it would have a lot of stories.
If this fiddle could talk.
You have some friends in this orchestra.
I feel so happy to be here. This is the highlight of my year. It always is. When I hear this orchestra play the introduction, you know, before I start playing, when I hear them play, it's so inspiring, you know. I hear them play the Philadelphia Orchestra, and it's clear this is the reason why we all do this, you know. I feel very lucky to have played here in the past and to still be playing here. I feel like I'm just the luckiest guy in the world, just trying to keep up with these great masters.
And particularly in this piece, because people have described the Brahms Violin Concerto as not so much a concerto for orchestra and violin, more of a competition between orchestra and violin. It's not an easy piece to play.
No, it is a difficult piece to play. I will say that, but I can't think of any more rewarding work in music. I'm biased. I'm a violinist. And to my mind, the Brahms Violin Concerto is one of the greatest masterworks of all music. I always tease people. I always say, you know, Brahms Violin Concerto is more Bach Chaconne than Bach Chaconne is Bach Chaconne, you know, because of that passage. You know, and, you know, I like to tease conductors. I say, this Brahms Violin Concerto is more Beethoven Ninth than Beethoven Ninth is Beethoven Ninth. You know, because of the coda of the last movement. You know, despite those places where he pays homage to those revered masterworks, the piece is the most incredible journey. I don't think there's any work that surpasses it.
You recorded this piece over a decade ago with the Berlin Philharmonic. How has it grown in your hands in 10 years since? Because it's something that you've played dozens of times, maybe hundreds of times since.
There is something to being older and having taught, you know, having had the experience of playing this piece with many great musicians, you know, like Maestro Abbado, like Maestro Savalich, like Maestro Blomstedt. These are just the first three names that popped in my mind. Right,
and now what's it like to play with these guys with Yannick on the podium?
Incredible, you know. We're definitely trying some new things.
Such as? I'm going to be really cheeky. Show me how you might have played it 10 years ago. And one phrase.
Oh, yeah.
Show me one phrase you would have played 10 years ago and show me how you think you might play it today.
You know, I used to take time for this second theme. There is an incredible thing, a great miracle that happens in this piece where the oboe improvises in the introduction. It sounds like an improvisation. And then this little figure, you know, very dramatic in the minor, it grows and becomes.
Mm-hmm.
it becomes this beautiful second theme. And in the past, I would have taken that slower.
To give it the necessary gravitas.
And nowadays, I wouldn't do that. You know, nowadays I feel like you can still get that and keep the pulse.
Beautiful.
And then, you know, maybe the piece feels more organic. Somehow, you know, is somehow more connected to the opening.
I hear it.
You know, somehow the whole piece is more connected, more organic. And so that's a kind of youthful habit that I've tried to, I don't know, maybe I'm trying to...
No, but I mean, as a younger violinist, is one not trying to make it more of an impression? I mean, you don't need to make an impression anymore, do you?
Maybe. That's probably true. That's probably true. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like I'm more thoughtful now. Maybe because I have more experience knowing how to think, you know? Anyway, yeah, something like that. It's a midlife crisis, you know. We all go. You'll get there. You'll see.
I hate to tell you, I'm out the other side of it.
We all go through it.
Well, long may it continue for you if it's producing music like this.
Oh, thank you.